Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello, everybody. Vegas Dave here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. College football is back, and what would it be without a couple of upsets in week one? For the most part, the big teams that were supposed to win did win, with the two exceptions that are most notable of Clemson being beaten by Alabama and Michigan getting beat by Utah. Now, in the Clemson game, I'm not too surprised, considering the fact that on paper this looked like it was going to be a great game, and we know that Nick Saban and Alabama can show up against anybody. But I was caught off guard because I did have Clemson in this game, and I really thought they were going to have an excellent season this year and be a potential threat to maybe not make the national championship game, but maybe be a one-loss team or a two-loss team and get in that discussion. But this is certainly not the start they were looking for. And in years past, they've proven to lose a game or two that they should win or are capable of winning, and they haven't been able to get over that hump yet, and I thought this would be the year that they would, but apparently it's not. I mean, of course, they could run the table from here on out, but if this game was any indication, they will not do anything of the sort, because Alabama beat them thoroughly. There was no bad bounce or bad luck about it. But the Michigan game is the game I wanted to spend some time talking about, because I've gone on a lot of sports sites to read up on the results of college football, and I've seen these ridiculous headlines like, new coach, same result, Michigan loses at home again, same as last year, Michigan gets upset, and I get this feeling that people are saying these things as if the two are equal, because yes, it's true, new coach, same result, as far as yes, Michigan lost at home again. But from reading these articles and from judging the overall tone of the way people are talking about this game, it's almost as if Michigan blew another game that they were supposed to win again. And these two games could not be farther from each other. They could not be less comparable. I mean, Appalachian State was playing a Michigan team last year that had every intention of going undefeated and going to the national championship game. Michigan last year was supposed to be the team that finally beat Ohio State. Michigan last year, with all of their seniors and impact players, was supposed to be a serious contender in their minds, and in some professional analysts' minds as well. This year, not only do they have new coach Rich Rodriguez, which you can't expect a team to just start winning in week one right off the bat. Not only do they have a brand new coach, they lost quarterback Chad Henne, running back Mike Hart, Jake Long, offensive tackle, and both of their top wide receivers, Mario Manningham and Adrian Arrington. They lost their entire offense. And not to mention, not only are these guys impact players and extremely talented guys, they were also leaders. And they lost all of them at the same time. Michigan has no leadership right now. And they lost Sean Crable, the linebacker, on defense. But most notably on offense, it's a brand new offense with a brand new system. And they were playing against a very good Utah Utes team. And this is a typical problem with the media, that a team like Michigan that has such a rich history and that has such a winning tradition that is so well known by pretty much all college football fans that the Michigan Wolverines are a team that you have to take seriously. They're so hyped up, and you've got this team, the Utah Utes, who last year were an excellent team. They beat UCLA as heavy underdogs. They beat Louisville as underdogs. Louisville ended up not being that great after all, but at the time it was a big upset for Utah. Utah played teams tough all year last year. They have a great defense. They have a solid offense, and they returned virtually everybody. Not to mention the fact that heading into this game, all the pressure was on Michigan. And it was all on these kids that, for the most part, haven't played before, or haven't started before anyway. I mean, Utah could only go in there and have a positive result. Either Utah was going to upset Michigan in Michigan and get their season started off great, or they were going to lose to Michigan in Michigan like they quote-unquote should. Michigan, on the other hand, exactly the opposite. If Michigan loses this game, as they do, they get all this media criticism and this complete backlash, like, uh-oh, Rodriguez, same story, they're losers again. If they win the game, nobody would give them that much credit, because nobody knows about Utah. And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I think this was probably the worst team in the entire nation you could schedule. I was trying to think of other comparable teams, and I was really having trouble. Maybe BYU, but BYU's ranked 16th, I think, this year, so they are apparently getting some national respect. But I can't think of another team that you could pick that is more underrated than the Utah Utes. If you're Michigan, you're thinking, okay, we have to do one of two things scheduling this first game after what happened last year. We have to schedule a cupcake that Michigan will win, no problem, and the risk there being if they lost that game again, that would be a complete disaster. Or you schedule a team that has some name recognition, that's a good team, that people know is a good team, so if Michigan wins, it legitimizes them, and if they lose, people give Michigan a break, because it's like, oh, well, they lost to such and such SEC team, that makes sense, it's a tough game. Instead, they go out and schedule a team that's very good, but completely unknown if you're not a college football person. And I'm just saying, give Michigan a break. These are all young guys, this is a great coach, the team is going to be fine. If not this season, then in the next few seasons. But this game, you could check my college football video. I said that Utah was going to win this game outright. If you know college football and you know anything about the Utes, you knew they were going to give Michigan a really good game and very possibly win it. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, and it certainly shouldn't be held against Michigan, because this is a very good Utah team. They were the better team today. They were the more experienced team, and it's really as simple as that. Now, it's not simple is probably the greatest story to come out in sports in years, in my opinion. And I'm not talking about a feel-good story, I'm talking about an amusing story. I thought the Jericho Scott 9-year-old kid that couldn't play anymore and then sued them because he couldn't play anymore was great. Until Chad Johnson went ahead and changed his last name legally to Ocho Cinco. This is the coolest story I've ever seen. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating, obviously. I'll use a phrase like that every now and then, ever seen, even though obviously I've seen a lot and I've probably seen something cooler. But I can't think of it right now. Roger Goodell fined the guy huge for putting Ocho Cinco on his jersey and basically said, let's be professional here. This is the NFL. We don't have little nicknames. We don't have other things we put on our jerseys. We put our last name on our jerseys. This is a professional league. You put Johnson on the back of your jersey. So Johnson finds a loophole that I can't think of anybody else in the world actually considering legitimately. I could see somebody maybe thinking about it and saying, huh, if I changed my last name to Ocho Cinco, he couldn't really do anything about it, could he? And then laughing and going back to what they were doing. Chad Johnson not only thought this up, not only went in and filled out the paperwork, he actually went through with it and got it done. His name is Chad Ocho Cinco. He signs his checks Chad Ocho Cinco now. That is his real name. And Roger Goodell can do nothing about it. I was reading that the NFL is investigating this. What are they going to investigate? It is completely legal to change your name. Whether they like it or not, this is the name he chose. So now he puts Ocho Cinco on his jersey. If Goodell tries to tell him, no, you can't wear that. Put Johnson back on your jersey. Chad Johnson has a very good case through the players' union of being harassed for something unfair. And he would win that case because it's his last name now. It's just hilarious. It's genius. You could use the word stupid, but it's beyond stupid. It's like kind of genius in its own way. And it really brings up that issue of trying to find a balance between professionalism and entertainment. Because you watch old clips of the NFL, the generation before us, where players would score a touchdown and would just jog over to the ref, give them the ball, and run back over to the sideline. They didn't dance around, they didn't put on shows. There weren't fireworks. It was a much more professional game. On the flip side, you have to consider the fact that without fans, professional sports is nothing. There's no money in it. The world would go on just fine if professional sports weren't played anymore. It's because fans have such a passion for it that it continues to go on, and that there's a continued interest in it. So here you have a guy who, for the most part, isn't so much rubbing it in on his opponents, and isn't so much being a bad sport. He's more entertaining the fans. He does things to be funny, he does things to be fun and energetic towards the fans. And really, that's what it's about, isn't it? Keeping the fans entertained? At the same time, you don't want pro football, or any other pro sport for that matter, to end up like wrestling or a circus where every single player is doing ridiculous things and putting things on their jerseys and wearing capes and all sorts of ridiculous things. Where do you find a balance? And I love that Chad Johnson is doing this. I'm sorry, Chad Ochocinco is doing this because he's really going to bring that issue to the forefront now. Where do you draw the line? Or where don't you draw the line? Was Dennis Rodman changing his hair color all the time a joke, or was that okay? Changing your last name's a little extreme, but I'm saying if you really feel passionately about having a certain name on the back of your jersey, should you be able to do that? End zone dances, if they're not offensive to the other team, should you be able to do that? It's a really great question that's brought to the forefront here. I don't believe intentionally. I think he was just doing this to be funny again. But it's a great question, and I don't have a clear answer for you. I'll definitely touch back on this when I find out what the NFL is going to do, if they're actually going to let him wear this jersey, or if they're going to find another loophole that doesn't allow this. But regardless of how it turns out, it's a pretty awesome story, I think. And hats off to Chad Ochocinco for not only coming up with the idea, but for going through with it. So on that note, I'm going to wrap things up. As always, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com or just leave a comment here on the page, especially with this issue. I'd love to see what you guys think about where to draw the line in professional sports. Thank you for listening. That's my dime, because 2 cents just isn't enough.